We begin the current daf in Satzivam as daf Peiches. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had a halacha, which the Gemara inferred from our Mishnah, that one witness who comes and says to the woman that your husband died is believed, and the woman could remarry another man. Now, that the Gemara wanted to know, what's the source for this halacha, which the Gemara proved from elsewhere, that what's called Eirech Anem Bisurin, one witness is believed when it comes to matters of prohibitions. When it comes to other things like in court, you need to have two witnesses. How do we know that it's one witness is believed? So the Gemara attempted to bring a proof from a biblical source from the Torah. The Gemara says, not a riot. So rather, our Gemara continues, Ella, this that Rabbanan believed one witness in regards to a woman being able to remarry another man and saying that it's not a problem of Eish HaSesh, is Svarhi, it's logic. As the Gemara says, similar to what it is with a piece, that suffix shall chalev, suffix shall shuman. It's not clear if it's forbidden fats or if it's permitted fats. Now one person comes along and says, I know, it's clear to me, I know this is permitted fats. Then that he's believed. Now, the reason why he's believed, as Rashi says, is because most definitely we rely on somebody who says it's a kosher piece of fat, as long as he's not suspect, or that the piece is not. Because if not for that, then you would never be able to eat at anyone else's house, because you can't rely on anybody, even in your own household, because if you don't say Eirech Anem Bisurin, so who said this is kosher? Maybe it's not kosher. It's a suffix deraisa, so you should go to Chumrah. So obviously Rashi says it's pretty obvious that if somebody serves you food, you rely on that one person that it's kosher. Same thing is over here. When it comes to a woman's permissibility to remarry someone else, one person can say if she's permitted or if she's not. However, on that, the Gemara has a question. Me dummy, can you compare this questionable piece of food to which one person is believed to the case over here in the woman? First of all, hasam lo yischazik yisura. In the case that you described with the piece of fat, it wasn't established as a fact, as it had a premise up until now, that this was a forbidden piece. We're just not sure. Is this kosher or not? And the guy is saying it's kosher. Here, she was already established. Her prior status was that of a married woman. So now, you want to believe one person to remove from that chazak of a married woman? Who said that? We would say. Moreover, the halach is that something that's related to arayas, which is what a married woman is not fit to permit it, pachas mishnayim, when it's less than two people. And that is as the Gemara in Masechta Sayyidin of Gimon Beis brings, because we learn that davar from mammon, from monetary issues, where it says, in arayas it says, kimatzah ba'ervas davar, and it says over there by money, al pishnayim edim yakum davar, just like over there is al pishnayim edim, here also is going to be al pishnayim edim. So how can you compare the two? Actually, the Gemara says, holei damya, actually, and to support the first question that the Gemara is bringing, that the Gemara is saying that, no, for sure you can compare it to a regular person serving you that he's one person believed, because there it's not a schazik yisura, but here it is a schazik yisura. Actually, you would compare this case of the woman, el chaticha devadei chelem. It would be considered like a piece that we know it's forbidden fats. Here we know she's a married woman. Now, v'osa eirechet v'amar barali d'shuman hava. Now, you have one person walking along and says, I know it's kosher. It's okay. It's forbidden fats. It's permitted fats. That, of course, the lemehem is not going to be believed. Everybody knows this is non-kosher. One person comes along and says it's kosher. And therefore, that exactly is the case that would be by the married woman, where one guy comes along and says, oh, she's permitted, meaning I saw the husband died. That's not believed. And therefore, it's not comparable to a regular piece of fat that somebody's serving to say that it's kosher or not, because that was not a schazik yisur, and here it is. Now, although there's two questions on the Gemara's comparison of this svar, this logic, the Gemara, however, refutes the proof that the Gemara just brought of the first question, that's saying it's similar to a case where it's definitely chaylev. That's the case of the married woman, that she's definitely usser, and therefore one person's not going to be believed, and therefore there's no rayo from this type of a case. Which the Gemara says, me dummy? Can you compare the case of the woman to a case when there's definitely forbidden fats? You can't. Because hasam, by the case of when it's definitely chaylev, everybody knows, we took it out of the animal, it was chaylev. There, afil also be male lemehem. Even if 100 people come along and say, we testify this is kosher. What do you mean? We saw it came out of the animal, it's forbidden fats. However, hach will be here by the married woman. It's not true, it's not the same exact case. Because kiven dechi asu be trei mahemni, if two people come along and say that her husband died, of course they would be believed. So therefore, chadna melehem, it's not true. Maybe we would say, even though she's b'cheska seishu says, that maybe one witness would also be believed, because we see that there is a room for belief. And then the Gemara is saying that don't support the question, our first question, and saying, oh, for sure it's not comparable to a Safek Chelb Shafek Shuman, because it's like a vade chelev, that's not true. Because vade chelev, 100 people wouldn't be believed. And here by the woman, 2 edim would be believed. However, the Gemara still does remain, at least, but it is a question that it is different than the svar that Gemara tried proving from, where you go eat by anybody, edach and then misur, and there it's lo yischazik yisur, here it is. And moreover, here it's davar sheba'erva, so you should need two. So the Gemara brings a different source. How do we know that edach is neman by the case of an isha? So the Gemara says, "Mi did hava a tevel hektish v'kenamis." It's comparable to what happens by untithed produce, something that's sanctified, and something that was taken as a neder, which is kenamis. Where although these three elements have a cheskes iser, that their prior status has been established as that's forbidden, we still believe the person. So the same thing we would say over here by the woman, although she has a cheskes iser eshesesh, we'll believe one person. Now the Gemara wonders about this pshat in the Gemara, which are these three things. Tevel, hektish, hekadamis. The Gemara wants, hi, tevel, hekadami. What exactly are the cases? What does it mean that by untithed produce, where it has a cheskes iser, where tevel is forbidden for a person to eat, yet we believe one person? Idide, if it's about his own untithed produce, what I mean, of course they're his belief. Because it's within his domain. He has the ability to rectify it and take off trumas and maises, thus making it not tevel. So, yes, there he'd be believed. And then you can't compare it to the case of the Eishes Ish, where he can't make her permitted. It's not biyadoi. He's just saying that he's testifying that her husband died. So, el de'achas, what would you say? It's talking about a case where it's somebody else's tevel. Well, then, the question is, Maika Saba, what exactly is this Mandam of the Gemara holding? Ika Saba, Tari Mishaloya Shalchavai, if he holds that one person can go to someone else's tevel and take off trumas, and then it's valid in halacha. Well then, in a tzarach das bailam, then you don't need to have the notification of the owners. Well, then you can't compare that either, because then again, mishum to be yad l'sakta. Yes, there he's believed, because since it's within his control to fix it, so he's believed to say that it's okay. But in the case of Eishes Ish, where it's not be yad l'sakta, he can't fix her. Her husband has to die by himself. He can't kill him. So therefore, maybe he would not be believed. Now, v'ikusav a tzarach das bailam, and if this mandama holds that you do need the notification of the owner first, and therefore it's not biyadil asakna, but rather he's saying, I know yadana ben din masakin, I know that he fixed it, and therefore although up until now had a cheskes tevel, that you want to say we would believe someone else to say that it's not tevel anymore, because I know he took off the tithes, and therefore you see edach and bisurin, that the Gemara says, hikuf minalan. But that's exactly the question we're asking. We're trying to find the source for the halacha of a married woman that one witnesses, as we said in our Mishnah, would be believed to let her marry someone else, albeit that she had a cheskes eshes. So we're saying, oh, now we know it's a svara. How do we know that? We know that from tevel, hektish, and kainim. But what exactly do you learn from tevel? If it's his own, because be'al l'sakna. If it's someone else's, well, depends. If you could do that, so that's also be'al l'sakna. If you cannot, well, that's exactly the question. How would we know this? Which is the same question we're asking by the Isha, that one person is believed regarding someone else's thing, which they can't, not, it's not biyad l'saknoi, and even though there's a cheskes iser. So we move on to the second case of the Gemara's Toma, hektish namit. Similarly, the same question we have regarding hektish. What type of hektish? There's two types of hektish. There's kedusha sakuf, which is hektish mizbeach, which the actual object has physical sanctity. Then there's kedusha dam, which is monetary sanctity. So, ikedusha dam, if we're referring to something that has monetary sanctity, well, yes, there the person's believed, although there's a cheskes iser, you can't utilize something of hektish. But someone that's saying that's permitted is because misham de biyad l'fdaisa. They also have the same logic because it's within his control to redeem it. Something that only has monetary sanctity, you could redeem it. So, again, it's the same svaro, why although there's a cheskes iser, that chazaka does not tell us that the person's not believed because he can undo that. Ikedusha saguf, if we're talking about something that has a physical sanctity, which is kachim mizbeach, which are a karbonis that are brought on the altar. Well, idide, if it's his own carbon, there we also would agree that it would be different than the case of Isha and Hidbi Neman. The person can ask, meaning there's a way out that you could say that although I sanctified something, you can find a way out and undo that sanctification. So therefore, that's the same svar of biyad l'sakne. El de'achar, so what do you have to say? It's obviously talking about someone else's carbon. V'aman, what's the person saying? Yudan be'i de'itshal mori aleh. I know, although everyone knows up until now there was a carbon and forbidden to have enough from it, says, I know regarding that owner that he asked on it and he undid its kedusha. Well, then he goes from another. That's exactly the same question we're asking. When it's not be'ad l'saknoi and it has a cheskes iser and one person wants to say it's not usher anymore, how do you know that they're believed? Kanemas nami, and the third one too, regarding taking a neder. So koinam is a debate regarding what is that halacha, if it's considered hektish, because that's the type of koinam, is it can be utilized as a term of carbon. So the question is as follows. If there's one who's proposing that we learn that Isha from these three items, the last one being koinam, holds that there is me'ila by koinam, because koinam is something that's called kachi bedek abayis. It's actually, because the word koinam is a term of a carbon. When you say koinam davezel alive, this thing should be like on me like a carbon. So you're giving it a sanctity of hektish, and that's one of hektish bedek abayis, which is for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, then that's only the kedushas damim nachslo. That only gives the object, let's say it's a table, just monetary sanctity. Well, then that's again the same svar we said before, mishum debiyad leftoisei. Because since it's within the person's control to redeem it, so yes, that's why he's believed. Which is, again, is not comparable to the case of the woman. There's no me'ila, there's no prohibition of having, deriving pleasure from it that gives you the status of sanctity of hektish, because rather they learn that koinam is a term of neder, it's just a regular oath. And it's just like a negative, just a prohibition that's lying on it, because the neder says that no one could have enough from it. Well, then again, if it's his own object, mishum debiyad lechulala, because he can shoyl on the nether. You can go to the chacham and say, that's not what I meant, I would never have said it, and they could undo the nether. So again, that's biyad lesakne. El da'achar, so you have to say it's someone else's object. V'amani, and what's this person, this one witness saying? Anoyadana de'ichel morale, I know, although he had made a nether on it, I know that he went to a chacham and he had undid it for him. Well, then he goof him along. Again, well, that's the same question we're asking. And therefore, you can't learn out the case of Ashes Ish, who one witness is saying that her husband died from all these three elements, because if it's the other cases we were saying, well then that's because it's biyad lesakne. And if it's a case that's similar to the case of the woman, well that's exactly the question. We would be no there either. So rather the Gemara concludes, Amr Abzeri says, because of the stringencies that we impose on the woman, if ultimately her husband does come and he is alive, so as we said in the Mishnah, many different penalties that we impose on this woman, that she ended up marrying someone else in spite of the fact that it turns out her husband's really alive. So that's why we were lenient on her initially to allow her to marry even with just one witness. And the reason is because obviously she's very concerned. She's going ahead with this move. She might have all these penalties levied against her. And therefore she's not going to get married until she really inspects very well. So this is an exception to the rule where we allow it even with just one witness, because of this criteria that's going to be so stringent at the end. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Don't give her all these penalties, and don't be lenient in the first place. Why are you creating this element where she's going to have that you're doing something exceptionary in the sense of allowing her to get married with one witness? And because of that, you'll say, okay, just be careful, because or else we're going to really penalize you. Why do we start the whole thing in the first place? But the Gemara says it was necessary to allow one witness to have a woman remarry, mishum iguna akilu barabon, because of the halacha of igun, which is that a woman is bound to this hidden, this vanished husband, where no one knows what happened to him, and because of that, the rabbanon were lenient, because we don't want this woman not to be able to marry anyone else, and she's going to be stuck in this position because no one knows what happened. If therefore they said if even one person comes and testifies that her husband had died, we're going to allow her to marry. And again, the reason why we allowed it is because we gave such stringencies if he is still alive, so she's going to really make sure that her husband has really died. And that's the source again for the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah said that if it turns out that he is still alive, so she had already remarried another man, so she has to leave her original husband and the new husband. Now, Amar Rav says, this halacha, as our Mishnah is talking about, that she has to leave both husbands, is only, as our Mishnah is actually talking about, when she gets married, because of the testimony of one witness. But if it was two witnesses that came and said, your husband's dead, and then it turns out that he is still alive, she actually does not have to leave. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that what Rav was saying is that she doesn't even have to leave her second husband. Now, so the Gemara says, Machko leba merav in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at this statement of Rav. Asa gavu v'koi, what do you mean? The man is coming, the husband's here. Va'at amad leitetz, and you're saying that, because two witnesses came and said, you're allowed to marry this other man. So two witnesses, that's it. You can stay married. How can you stay married when her husband's walking here and say, look, I'm alive? It's obviously his nus of Ashes Ish. So though maybe it's no fault of her own because two witnesses said, but how can you stay married to him? So that the Gemara says, no, loy tzricha, it's not a difficulty on Rav, because we're talking about deloy yedinale. We don't recognize if this is the original husband. And therefore, since you have two witnesses that said he had died, although he's coming into town, they say, look, I'm alive, I'm our first husband. If we don't recognize who he is, it doesn't make a difference if he claims he's her husband, she can go ahead and stay married to the second husband. Now, the Gemara wonders as follows. If it's talking about that we don't recognize the first man, if he's actually the first husband who's gone for who knows how many years, well, then why is Rav saying that in our Mishnah when she was able to remarry based on one witness's testimony, oh, that's when she has to leave both husbands? It's when there's two witnesses that she doesn't. Why? If no one recognizes for a fact that this is the husband, even if you have just one witness, she should not have to go away and leave her second husband. So I think when it says loy tzricha, we're talking about the asu bei treva amri. No, the fact is that we're talking about that it's not just the husband himself coming. He's coming with two people that are saying, anan havinin bahadei, we were together with this man, mechi nafik varhashta, from when he left town up until now, and therefore we know that he's the husband. Va'atun hu delay yaditale, it's just you people, the people of the town, that you don't recognize him. Now, therefore, regarding one witness, the two witnesses are believed. But regarding when there's two witnesses, that's what Rav is saying. Since she already got married, that we're not going to make her leave from the second husband. Because since she got married on two witnesses' testimony, the fact that there's two witnesses will not make her go out. But again, if there's just one, so obviously the two will outweigh the one, and then she'll have to leave. Now, the Gemara proves this point that it's possible such a thing where two witnesses could come and say that we know who he is, it's just you don't recognize him. The Chassidim says, I'm pasuk in Bereishis, says, V'yakar yeisu es echot. Yosef recognized his brothers, the Shvatim, in Egypt. But they didn't recognize him. Now, V'amar v'chizdi, he explained, teaches us that when he was sold away from the brothers, he was without a beard. And now when they met him, he was with a beard, and therefore they didn't recognize him. Therefore the witnesses are saying, look, you don't recognize him. Maybe he left without a beard, but we know that's who he is. And therefore, that's what we're saying, that it's actually these two people with him. So if it was with one aide, that's our Mishnah says she would have to leave both men. But Rav is saying that if there's two witnesses that she married with, although there's two people coming now, then she doesn't have to leave. Which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Saif, ultimately, treva treinenu. That's what an halacha is called when you have a stalemate between two witnesses saying one way and two witnesses saying another way. So therefore, the Gemara continues to Amud Beis. So therefore, the halacha should be, her second husband, that Rav is saying could maintain the relationship with her, it should at least be a doubtful ashram because you have two witnesses saying that she could marry, two witnesses saying that she cannot, that this is the husband. So how can you, Rav, say that she could maintain the relationship when at least it's a doubtful iser? Because that's what we say with a stalemate, that we remain with the suffix. Some Rav Sheshish said that what Rav was talking about is kigon shenisus le'echad me'edaha. We're talking about there were two witnesses that came originally and said that her husband had died. Now, that woman then married one of those men. Now, therefore, although there's two witnesses coming along and saying that this is the husband, so therefore it should be trade, at least be a suffix, and that Rav Sheish is saying that, no, he said, I saw the husband dead. There's no doubt for me. I don't care who this guy is. I know the husband that died. And therefore, it's like saying, Bar Elisha Meis, I know that he died, and therefore there's no Hashem Tali for him. So the Gemara says, fine, that's regarding the second husband, because he claims he saw the husband dead. But he goof about Hashem Tali Kaim, but the woman herself doesn't know. She didn't. She's getting testimony from these men, but there's other two witnesses saying that this is the husband. So for her, at least, it should be a case of Hashem Tali. That the Gemara says, Bar Yimeres Bar Eli, no, it's talking that she herself says, it's clear to me. She has certain signs. She knows that the husband died. And therefore, even for her, wouldn't apply Hashem Tali, because Hashem Tali is only by somebody that's not clear and is in doubt, maybe I'm violating Isra, maybe not. So then you would bring Hashem Tali. But here with a witness, is he's the one that is the second husband. And she herself says, it's clear to me, that's why Rav says she can maintain the relationship and there's no halacha of Hashem Tali. Well, then the Gemara asks, if that's how we're qualifying Rav's statement, well then, ihachim ma'ilam emma, then why was it necessary for Rav to say this halacha in the first place? And that is, as the Gemara explains, afilu Remenachem Reb Yosi lekamar, even Remenachem Yosi, who we're shortly going to quote, doesn't say that a woman would have to leave the second husband. That's elikisha bo edim. That's only if there's witnesses that come and say that he didn't die. And actually, they could even say, look, this is who he is. Now, the Gemara in Ksubas explains that what they're talking about is that a woman that married, as we said over here, that how we're describing the case of Rav, that there were two witnesses who said that he died, And then she married one of those witnesses, and she herself is saying, it's clear to me that he died. So only Rabbi Nachman Yossi, who he's the stringent one, he only says it, Ele kishabo edim, when witnesses come, v'ach kach nisses. And after the witnesses who said, no, he didn't die, and then she gets married, then he holds, look, there's two witnesses saying one way, two witnesses saying another way, you have to leave that relationship. Avon nisses, v'ach kach bo edim lo yama, but even he agrees that if she first got married, which is like the case we're discussing, and then witnesses come, that no one holds, even the stringent opinion of Nachman Yossi wouldn't hold that she would have to leave her second husband, to sound like Luna Brysa. Shnaim Omrim Meis, v'shnaim Omrim Lemeis. Similar to the case we're describing here with Rav, which what the Gemara was explaining was that two witnesses said that he died, and two witnesses said that he didn't die. Or Shnaim Omrim Nisgarsha, v'shnaim Omrim Lemeis Garsha. Two witnesses say that he did divorce her, and two witnesses say he did not divorce her. So the halacha is, harezu loy tinasa. So you're not going to get married, because it's a matter of doubt. V'im nisiz loy teitz, the Tanna Kamma holds that if you got married, you don't have to leave. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yisi Omer Teitze, he says, no, you have to leave. Now, on that, Rabbi Nachman Yisi says, emas on the Omer Teitze, when did I say you have to leave the second husband? That's bizman shabo eidem achach nisiz. That's if there was first the other pair of witnesses who said that, no, she's not divorced, or that he did not die, that they first came and then she got married. But if she first got married and then the witnesses came and said that, oh, he really didn't die, then she doesn't have to leave the second. And therefore, what do we need Rav's halacha for? Rav is, even according to Rav Nachman Rabbi Yossi, would hold, and he's a stringent opinion, holds that you don't have to leave. So what's the chiddush of Rav? So I think Mar says, no, ki kama Rav nami, when did Rav say his halacha? Is bizman shebo eidim v'achach nisses, is even in the case where first the second pair of witnesses came. So there were two witnesses that came and said, one of them being the one that wants to marry her, said that the husband died. And then, even before she got married, two witnesses came along and said, no, he didn't die. Actually, this is him. Now, on that is what Rav is saying, that we didn't learn the halacha of our Mishnah only by one witness, where there we said that even if she gets married first, and then the husband comes, as the Mishnah says, that then Teitze, then she'll have to leave. But the chiddush of Rav is that, however, if she's getting married based on two witnesses, then even if her husband comes first with two witnesses with him saying that he's the man, and then she gets married, even then loy teitze. And what, again, as we explained before, meaning if we don't know for a fact that this is the man, that as we explained, that it's everyone else says we don't recognize him, and she says she doesn't recognize him, and she says it's not who it is. Now, that is what I was saying, that even if witnesses come first and then she gets married, that even that would be okay. Lafukim in Menachem Rabbi Yossi. And that's exactly the chiddush of Rav to come exclude from Menachem Rabbi Yossi, and that actually he's saying that Allah is like the Tanna Kamma. Now, Rashi explains, now, because of the question, that's obviously the answer. In other words, for the fact that we don't need Rav's halacha, rather only in such a case, because if he's talking about that first she got married and then witnesses came, well then we already know that halacha from Menachem Rabbi Yossi must be that, no, that's exactly what he's coming to say. That halacha is not like Menachem Rabbi Yossi, rather like the Tanna Kamma, that even if she first gets married, and then, the witnesses first come, and then she gets married, even in such a case, loy teitz halacha will be that she can maintain the relationship with the second man. That's the first interpretation of Rav. Vekadam, those that say that this was what Rav was coming to teach, that Taima did nisus v'achach bo'edim. No, actually to the contrary. That because she first got married and then witnesses came, because that's exactly the precise opposite of what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah, which was saying that when there's one witness, then she does have to leave. Where that's what Rav is imposing his halacha on. That he's saying, however, when there's two witnesses, then she doesn't have to leave. That was talking about a case when she was first married and then witnesses came. Aval, however, but in general, even if there's two witnesses, but if it's, for example, bo edim be'achkech nises, then teitze. If first the second pair of witnesses that say that he did not die come, and then she gets married, then Rav would agree that she would have to leave, even by two witnesses. Now, this we know from the fact that Rav said his halacha on the Mishnah, that's obviously what he's saying, but in general, that then she would have to leave. Would that be command? Kerem Nachman Yisrael is exactly what he's coming to teach. When he was saying his halacha on the Mishnah, but he didn't say it in general, he was trying to say that it's exactly like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, and that's what he's coming to say, like that it's like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, that it's only in the case of our Mishnah, whereby one aid, if it's first get married, and then the witnesses, then the husband come, then she has to leave. But when there's two witnesses, since the marriage is first, and then the other witnesses come, then she doesn't have to leave. But however, in general, if the witnesses come first, and then she gets married, then she would have to leave like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Masav Rava. Rava asked on Rav, which again, the way the Gemara is assuming right now, Rav is saying that if they don't recognize the husband who claims he's the original husband, and there's two witnesses saying that he had died, even if there's two witnesses saying that this is him, she can maintain the marriage with the second man. So Rava asks from the following brisa. The brisa says, Minayin she'im le'ratza. From where do we know that if the kohen, this is talking about a different halacha, doesn't want to separate from tumah or from marrying forbidden women, which are certain halachas with kohanim, that dafnoi, that we hid him and we sanctify him even against his will, you're a kohen, you have to keep these halachas. Tamalema, the brisa teaches him a pasuk in Vayikra that says v'kidashtoi, that Bezdin, Klal Yisrael has a responsibility to sanctify the kohanim, even bal karach, even against his will. Now, now the Gemara, Rava develops the question. Hechi dami, what exactly is the case that the Brisa is talking about? In other words, obviously Rava assumes that if it's a very well-known Isser, or even a doubtful Isser, you don't need a pasuk to say that, because obviously we force people to keep the mitzvahs. And that's why he says, if you think the case over here regarding the kohen is talking about that she didn't get married to one of her witnesses, or v'loy kamer barley, or she doesn't say that I'm definite that this is permitted. Tzrich l'mem de dafne, would we have to say that we hit him, that we forced the kohen to keep the halachas? Of course he's not allowed to get married to forbidden women. So el alav, then this is rather, what does it have to be talking about? That first they got married, l'echad meidau, she got married to one of her witnesses. Again, we're talking about that this witness is a kohen. And then witnesses come and say that no, he was alive at that moment and then he died. Now, on that, the second husband doesn't want to divorce her, because although in halacha she would be considered a zayna, although now she's permitted, but the second that she had relations as a married woman with him, the kohen, so then she's forbidden. Now, v'kamra barali, and she's saying, still, it's clear to me, I know that he was dead, and he's saying that I was one of the witnesses that he was dead. Now, in spite of that, it seems to say that from the braisa, that v'katoni dafnoi, that still we hit him and we force him to remove her. So, ama mafkin lemonei, so obviously we see that we do remove her from him. And that's difficult according to Rav. Now, the reason is, as Rashi explains, we can't say that it's talking about that she had got married based on the testimony of one witness. Because obviously, why would you need a pasuk? Obviously, if there's two witnesses coming and saying that he's not dead, or at least that moment he wasn't dead, and therefore she was a zayna, which would have been to a kohen, obviously not going to leave one aid in place of two. So obviously, it's talking about that there was two witnesses, and in spite of the fact that she was first married, and still we say that when there's two witnesses that come along and say that her husband was alive at the time, thus making her into a Zayin and forbidden to a Kayin, that we do remove her, which refutes Rav's halacha, that by Trey Utrey, and she says barley, and he says barley, still we remove her. So the Gemara answers, Issa Kuhunashani. The halacha of Kuhuna, which is what you're bringing from this Brayis of Ikidashah, is different, because there, as the Rishonim explained, that actually Bezdin has the commandment, not just the person himself, they're not just enforcing someone else's mitzvahs, it's Bezdin's responsibility, and they're in doubt, because they have two witnesses saying one way, and two witnesses saying another way, so they have to remove him from that marriage. Where it's regarding someone's own obligation, so they could say, Barili, I'm clear that it's not a problem. But therefore here, by Issa Kuhuna, it's not a question on Rav. Or the Ibai same, or the Gemara says, what you could say is, my Daphne, what does the Brisa mean when it says that they hit him? It means Daphne be'edim, they hit him, so to speak, with witnesses. In other words, that it's Bezdin's responsibility to go ahead and seek out other witnesses to refute the original witnesses who are permitting her to marry him, because they don't want someone that's a forbidden relation with the Kohen. But you're right, the Brisa would agree that once they're married, it would be loiteitze the way Rav says it. It's just that they're saying that they have an obligation to make sure the Kohen's safe, not doing any Isurim, and therefore they would have to go ahead and dafne, meaning they would get other witnesses saying it's not true. But obviously, the halacha of Rav would be true, that if she really got married, she would not have to leave that relationship. Or v'ibayisem, the Gemara says, you could say that it's actually talking about the halacha is even that when she had been married. However, it's talking about kishabo edim v'achkach nisus. The brice over here that says the dafnoi is even if she was married, and it even means dafnoi that you make him remove her. But it's still not difficult according to Rav, because told me that witnesses came first, those opposing witnesses said that he didn't die, he came first, and then she got married. Now that Rav agrees, as we had said in one of the versions before, because Reb Nachum Rebisi is going like Reb Nachum Rebisi, who he says, Teitze, and because it only is like Teitze when she first got married, and then witnesses came. And there was no difficulty, three different interpretations, why that Bryce is not difficult on Rav. Now, however, the Gemara goes regarding the statement of Rav, that the Gemara had assumed up until now that loitetze, that what Rav was saying was she doesn't have to leave even the second husband, which the Gemara wonders, how could that be when the husband comes and he's saying, look, I'm here, is because that we don't recognize him, and we say that you're not the first husband, and that we said that in the case of trey and loitetze. Rav Ashi Aimer, he says a totally different shot, which removes all the questions. He says, my loitetze, the Kama Rav, what does Rav mean when he said originally, av b'shnei edim loitetze? It means loitetze meheter harishin. She doesn't have to remove from her original first heter, meaning that she can go back to her first husband. All he was saying was that when there's two witnesses that she remarried based on their testimony, she's considered an anusa. Because two witnesses said you could do something, of course we rely on their testimony. And that's not like when there's one witness, was we say, be careful, we're making an exception for you, but then you're going to get all these penalties. But of course she's forbidden the second husband. Rav was just saying, loitetze from Baila Harishan. So now the Gemara asks if that's what he was saying, but Ha'amar Rav Chodazim, the Rav already said this once before. Did not, because this is actually halacha we learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nisis Shaloi Bershus, Muteris Lachzalai. If she remarried without permission of Bezin, meaning, but rather based on testimony of two witnesses, then Muteris Lachzalai, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. And Ha'amar Rav, Hun Ha'amar Rav, Ha'chiyachas, he said, that's the halacha, so why does he have to say it again? If he already said the halacha is like that halacha of our Mishnah. My answer is, right, he only said it once, but one was inferred from the other, and therefore we had it in two different venues, but really it was the same halacha that he said, that when two witnesses, and then she remarried, then she could go back to her first husband, and she's not asta. Now the Gemara qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah, which is similar to the discussion we had before in Rav, Amar Shmuel. He says, Lo yishanu, we didn't learn in our Mishnah, that when the woman gets married based on the testimony of one aid, that she has to be teitze from both men, that's ela shloi makhasha astoy. That's only when she does not deny that this is her first husband. Ava makhasha astoy loi teitze. But if she denies that he even was her first husband, then she doesn't have to leave the relationship of the second man. In other words, if one witness says your husband died, she goes and gets remarried, then years later someone comes and says, look, I'm the husband, and then the husband says, well, based on one witness, she has to be removed. But he says, if he denied her, then she says, you're not my husband. She doesn't have to leave based on that one witness testimony from the second husband. Now, the Gemara wonders, b'mayiskina, exactly what is Shmuel's halacha talking about? Ilema beitrei, if it's about that there's two people that are saying, this is the husband, what do we know that he was the husband? We thought he was dead, because one person said, but he's not. Well, then the question is, ki machash asto le mayhava, what does it help that she's denying? Saying, no, he's not my husband, but you have two witnesses saying that it is. So elabachad, you'd say that there's only one person testifying that this is the husband. But then the inference is, tamid machash asto, that the reason is only because she's denying him, then she's allowed to go ahead and stay in the second marriage. Hashaska teitze, that sounds like, but if she's quiet when this one witness says, this is your first husband, she's not sure. But how could that be? But Va'amar Ula said, Kal Mokum Sheminu Tari Erechad, wherever the Tari believes one witness, Harei Kan Shnayim, so we consider that one witness as if it's like two witnesses, which is what generally halacha requires. So for example, like by Edis Isha in our halacha, where he's believed to say that the husband died, or by the Edis of a Saito, where he's believed to say that she had an adulterous affair, that we consider that one witness like two witnesses. And therefore, v'ein dvar v'shal echad, we don't believe the testimony of one person, who in this case is saying that he didn't die, actually this is him, b'makom shnayim, in place of two. So what's this case of Shmuel talking about? If there's two witnesses, then what does it help for her to refute that person? And if there's only one, so why does she have to refute? The fact that she remarried based on one witness, which is like two, will itself be enough. Rav the Gemara says that hacha, what we're talking about over here, where if she refutes, she doesn't have to leave the second marriage. But Mayaskina, what are we talking about? Bipsule Aedis. In other words, we're talking about that there were two people that came and testified that this is the original husband. But those two are generally invalid for testimony. For example, if they're relatives or women that they are saying this is him, this is the original husband, they're Bipsule Aedis. Now, that is what Shmuel is teaching us, that we go regarding such a halacha based on what's called Rav Deis. We go on the majority of people that there are, which generally in halacha we don't. We say even if there's 100 on one side, 2 on the other side, that's considered trey betray. Here, since there's no edus kashera, it's psuli edus, we go based on numbers. As the Gemara explains, it could be Reb Nechemia. It's telling like Reb Nechemia, he says Kamakam Shemina Torah Eid Echad, wherever the Torah believed, one witness. So then, essentially, we're not working with the basic principles of Eidus, of testimony, from the fact that we believe even one witness. That's not how it usually works. You need to have two. So therefore, Nehemiah says, so we even allow the testimony of Psulim, they believe just like Sherem, because we're not working with the general rules of Eidus. We believe one, so we'll believe even Psulim, a relative, a woman. Now, therefore, since we're working with a whole new set of rules, Halach Achar Reiv Deis. Again, although in Halacha we usually go that you need two and Ksherim, and therefore if there's two on one side, 100 on the other side, that's the same thing. Here it's going to be different. Here we go based on the number of people saying the ones that have more numbers are going to win out the other side. Now, therefore, the Halacha is as follows. V'asur shtei nashim, they made two women that are makrish, be'ish echad, in one man who's one witness, kishnei anashim be'ish echad, like two men in one man, where we believe the two over the one. As Rashi explains in greater detail, he says, therefore, if the husband had not come, and one witness said that he died. Now, if you have two psuli edus, let's say two women or two relatives, it doesn't make a difference who, and say that he didn't die, so then she would not be removed from the cheskes eshash is, she would still be considered a married woman, because we would go after what's called reiv deis. Two are saying he's not dead, and one is saying that he is dead. So then she would be tetze, she wouldn't be able to go ahead and get married to the second man. Or similarly, if let's say the husband does come, and he comes, like in the case we're describing over here, with two psuli edus with him that are saying he's the original husband, but she's saying, I don't recognize, I can't tell if this is him or not. So in such a case where she's not definite, where she's not being machesh, she wouldn't deny them, there also she would have to leave the second marriage, because you have two women that are being machish, the original aid, the original witness, who said that he had died, who allowed her to marry, and therefore she's not removed from her chazaka of Eishes Ish. That's the premise that Shmuel is working with. However, that's what the halacha of the Mishnah was told about, where she wasn't machish, so then you have two Eidim Psulim, who win over even the aid kasher, because since we're not working with the basic rules of Eidus, we believe one, so we believe in Besulim, and then we work with Reiv Deis, so the two who say that this is the husband outweighs the one who said that he had been dead. But that's only if she didn't deny. But where the woman is saying, I know for a fact that this is not my original husband, that's the case where Shmuel is talking about where she's machish. So then even without the original aid who let her remarry, these psuli edus are not believed regarding a regular kosher person, even if there are 1,000 people, because the halacha is that a person is neman al atzma bisurin. They're believed regarding something that applies to their own isurim to say that this is something clear to me. I know this is not a problem. It's only if you have kosher witnesses, who they go ahead and say that this is the facts, that then we rely on them, and therefore, essentially, we say that the cheskes eshes ish was removed in this case from the Eid Echad. As we said, we believe the Eid Echad. The Eid Echad says, you're not a married woman anymore, because we believe the Eid Echad in this case, because of Iguna. Now, however, although that you're having two people are psulim that are believed to negate him, because it's two versus one, however, it's not true, because they're coming up against her. She's denying them. She's saying, I know for a fact that this is not my original husband. Now that, as Rashi's explaining, that they don't go after Reb Yis. Even 1,000 people say that this is your husband, she says, no, this is not my husband. As long as they're not Edim Ksherim, they're Psulim, she's going to be believed. And therefore, it's like they don't exist, these two people. And therefore, since she had that one aid saying that she doesn't have the Cheskes Eshes Ish, which allowed her to go ahead and get married, then even if you're having two against one, which generally when we have one aid, which we allow Edim Psulim, we would say two will outweigh the one, and that's the halach of our Mishnah. But when she's Machish, then we go ahead and we say that she can go ahead and maintain that marriage because she's denying them and she could deny them, and therefore she, together with her Eid Echad, will win and she could go ahead and stay married. Or Ve'iba Yisema, the Gemara says another approach, what you could say in Shmuel is actually, Kalhecha da'asa Eid Echad kasha mi'ikara. Wherever you have one kosher witness originally that says that the husband had died, meaning one man that's not related, is Eid kasher. Then a filim may anashim, that even if you have 100 women, meaning that's a case of psulin, that come afterwards and after that she had married and said that he didn't die, then ke'id echadamin, then they're comparable, like if they're one witness, we consider them as just one number, and therefore you have the halacha of one against one, But however, in that case, the later people will be considered as nothing, because that's Ula's halacha that says that when we consider one to be believed, he's considered as two. And therefore, according to Shmuel, actually in that case, you would not have to have her removed from a second husband, even if she's silent. But Hacha over here, where Shmuel is saying that if she's silent, and that's how he was explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, that then the halacha would be Tetzeh. But my skin, what is that talking about? Kugin to ask the Isha Me'ikara. We're talking about that actually the first aid that let her get remarried was not a man, it was a woman, which that's a case of psulin. Now, therefore, when later on two people come, if she is quiet, then we will work with the halacha of Rav Deis, which would make it Issa, which would be two women against one woman. Now, and therefore we have to revise in the second version what was Rav Nechemiah's statement regarding that you go after Rav Deis, not like we had said in the first version that we made two women in one man as two men against one man. No, we don't believe, even the halacha, when we believe one man, Basa Rav Deis, to say that two psalm would be better than one man. Rather, Rav Nechemiah Omer, he says, Kamakim shemina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believed one witness, however, in the case of pasul, meaning if we believe one witness, which that allows even pasul, then halach achar Rav Deis, then we go after the majority of opinions. V'asu shtei noshim be'isha achas, not ish as the first version had it, then therefore we make two women against one woman, kishnei anoshim be'ish echad, like two men against one man, and that's the case of our Mishnah, where it was one woman that she remarried based on that. And therefore, if she doesn't deny, then the halach is going to be that the two later women that say that he was not dead would be believed and she'd have to remove. However, when you have two women against one man, which is that eid kasher, then kapalga pagadam. Then actually it would be like half and half, 50-50, be like what's called one against one. And therefore, even if she would be quiet, even in such a case, Shmuel would hold that she would not be teitzeh. And the reason is, since she already got married based on that first witness, which Ula said that the first one is considered like the belief of two people. So therefore, all the other ones are like one against two. And if in that type of case, actually, Shmuel would hold that you would not have to leave, even if it was based on that she's quiet. This, that Shmuel was qualifying in the second version, that it's talking about that she's makeshes, is talking about that because she was originally married based on one woman. And therefore, in such a case, two women would be believed against woman, you would go after Rav Deis, therefore you need to have a kasha. However, when it's going to be one man that said it, and then you have two women later, then he said he doesn't even have to be Macheshes, and there even by one aid, our Mishnah would agree that actually Loi Teitzei. And the Mishnah is only saying that Teitzei, because it's talking about it was based on one woman. So that's the difference between the two different versions of Shmuel. If when we say that you need if you don't have a Hakrasha, the two later Psulim would be able to make her be Teitzei. Or if that's talking about Ish Echad, that's still there believed. Or as the second version says, only when it was Isha Echad. Then, if she's not Makeshes, then they're going to be believed. But however, in either version, if she's Makesh, then she's going to be believed, because since she was allowed to get married based on one person, who then has the belief as two people, since people are coming later, we consider all those Psulim as they're just one person, and it's going to be one against, actually the first eight is considered like two against one, so therefore then she could maintain that marriage, and the reason is because she could deny all of them. She could say, look, I don't believe you, I know this is not my husband, and based on that first person's testimony, we removed her from the Cheskes Eishes, and therefore she could remain married to her second husband. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said that the woman that gets married based on one witness's testimony, tzricha get mizeh mizeh. Then she needs to get divorced from both men. Or she wants to get married to someone else. So the Gemara asked, bishlam and merishin to get him, of course, from the first husband she needs a get, because actually she was still married. Everyone had assumed that he was dead, but he's still married, so she's still connected to him, so she needs a get. El mishen liyamai, but why do you need a get from the second husband? Znus ba'amahu, it was just an illicit relationship. It was an out-of-wedlock relationship because she was married all along and there was no real marriage here. So what do you need a get for? Some of the Ruhna says you're right, but it's a gzeris shemayirmu. It's a concern, it's a decree. There may be people that see what's going on, but they don't know exactly what's going on. They see the first husband is still alive. He finally came back to town after 20 years. Now they think that this second man that she was married to was because, they're assuming, because Girish that, the first husband had divorced her, but Nasazah, and the second man had married her, and therefore she had a full-fledged marital relationship with the second man. Now, although that's not actually what happened, but people are going to assume that because they see he's still here, but she's with that other man. Obviously, he had divorced her. Now, if the second man then releases her without a get, V'nimtzis, it's going to come out. People are going to think and say, Eishes ish, yetzibalei get. A married woman was removed without a get. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, well then say for the Ketani regarding the end of this Mishnah, which is continued on Daf Tzadik Beis, that says, if Amala meis balecha v'niskatsha, let's say one witness comes and tells her your husband died, and she only got engaged to another man. V'achach bo'baila, and then later her husband comes, muteras lachsalei, then she's permitted to go back to her husband, because she didn't have a meisis nos, that's only after marriage, she was only engaged, so she can go back to her first husband. So the question is, hasam nami name a girish zeh b'kidish zeh? Here also you'll have the same problem. You'll say that, wait a second, how'd she get married to another man? Obviously, and we see the first husband's back, obviously he had divorced her, and she got engaged to this other man. V'nimtzis eishesh yetzer shalei beget. It's going to come out, people are seeing she's going back to her first husband without a get from Kedushin, so that they're going to say you don't need a get from Kedushin, which that's not the halacha. So the Gemara says, you're right, lo ilam ba'ya get. Truth is, over there the halacha would be that also over there you need to have a get, and then she can go back to her first husband. Then the Gemara says, if that's the case, so Nimtzizeh comes out, in other words, people are going to come to say that it's permitted to be machzigurishase mishinasarsa. People are going to say that you're allowed to remarry the woman that you divorced when she had gotten engaged to another man. In other words, people are going to think and say that obviously the first husband divorced her, the second man had engaged her, then he divorced her because he's giving her a get, and then she's going back to her first husband. So people are going to say that you could do machzik rishase if you're doing a get, then people are going to say, obviously she was married, why are you giving a get? And they're going to come to say that you could remarry the woman that you had divorced if she had gotten engaged to someone else in the meantime. So the Gemara says, yes. Kribi Yisimin Keeper, the Mishnah would be going like Kribi Yisimin Keeper. The Amma that he says, Min HaNisu Nasura, the Issa of machzik rishase to remarry a woman that was divorced, that had gotten into another relationship, is only if she had married another person. Min Eris and Mutaris, but from just engagement, then actually it's permitted to be machzik rishase, as he learns from Acher Asher Hutama, that it's only if she had been defiled, in other words, that she had already relations with the second man, meaning there was nisuin, then it's forbidden. But from Eris and actually there's no problem, so yeah, let people say that, it doesn't make a difference. But still the Gemara asks, to say this, that we were saying that you're going to need a get in that case of when there's Kedushin on the Tzadi Beis, but Hamnigtani Sefer, but from the fact that we learn over there in the Sefer that says, Afalpi, that even though, even if the second person gives her a get, meaning from the second one that she was engaged to, Loi Pasul Min HaKuhuna, it says that he's not going to invalidate her from Kuhuna. Now, the Gemara says, Mechlal de Loi Boi Get, obviously that even rabbinically, you do not need a get, not like the Gemara is trying to say that, oh, you need a get there too, because the Iboi Get, if he would need a get even as rabbinic halacha, then Amai Loi Pasul Min HaKuhuna, then why wouldn't he be invalidating her from Kuhuna? Because as the Gemara brings on Dav Tzadik Dalam and Alv, that even what's called a Reach HaGet, even something that just smells like a get, meaning it just has the appearance of one, will invalidate her from Kuhuna to prevent the problems of women that are divorcees from marrying into Kuhuna. So if you're maintaining that, yes, the Sefer would have the same concern too, because people are going to say that you can be removed without a get, but that you can't say that, because we see there clearly that you don't need a get from the fact that even if he gives her a get, he's not going to invalidate her from Kuhuna. So El Rav, the Gemara says, the Seifa, when it was just Kedushin with the second man, you're right, there you don't need a get. Now the question was asked, why? People are going to say that, wait a second, she got engaged to a second man and the original husband's back, obviously that he had first divorced her and this one had engaged her, and then she's being released without a get. Actually, people are not going to say that. Because Ami, you know what people are going to say when she gets removed without a get? They're going to say Kedushin Toysava, that it was a Kedushin based on the error. For example, let's say he says, I'm engaging you because I'm a Kohen. It comes out he's not a Kohen, he's Yisrael. So that's not a Kedushin. So people are going to say, of course there's no get, but not because it was a case of releasing her from an engagement without a get. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the Reisha Nami Amri Nisui Toysava. So why wouldn't they say the same thing by the Reisha? By our Mishnah, where they'll say that it was just an erroneous nisuin. Why over there do we maintain that she needs a get from Mizeh Mizeh? Why do you need a get from the second one? Why wouldn't people say, the first husband's here, and she's being released without a get? They'll say, oh, must have been, it was a mistake, and it was an erroneous marriage. Why don't you say the same thing over there? So the Gemara says, Kansur Rabbanan. In the case of our Mishnah, where she got married to the second man, the Rabbanan penalize her, and they say that, although yes, as we say in the Seifa, that will be Toyla Lahakal, we say that, oh, people will probably say that she's not being divorced without a get. Rather, there was no Kedushin in the first place. Here they penalize her because she went ahead and she was married. So they must say, "Venami liknesua." So why don't you say something there also? They're about to penalize her over there for getting engaged to a man which she wasn't allowed to. So the Gemara says, no, the difference is Reisha da Abdi Yisura Kansua. In the Reisha, meaning in our Mishnah, where we say Tetsa Mizeh Mizeh, where she did a violation of an Isser, she had a Mises Nus, turns out, with the second man. So they would penalize her and say that, you know what, you even need a get from the second man. Because we're not going to say that people will say that it was Kedusha Tais. We'll say that no, people might make the mistake, and they're going to say that you could be removed from the Yisum without a get, and if you need a get from it. But Sefer Dele Avdi Yisur Ola Kansur Abanan, but in the Sefer, meaning the next mission of Tzadik Beis, where she didn't do anything wrong, doing Kedushin with another man when you're married to a man, it's just nothing, it's just a joke. Having Bia, that when you have Nisun, that's problematic. So there, where she didn't do any Isur, there Abanan didn't penalize her and make her have to get a get, because that could be a problem. She'll become puzzled to Kahuna with that. And therefore there they didn't penalize her, and then they'll say that, people will say that it was Kedushin Tois. Whereas over here, we said that, no, people will not necessarily say that. And we'll say that maybe people will say that it was a divorce without a get, and therefore we require a get, again, just because she had done an Isser, and therefore we're more stringent with her in this case of Nisuin than in that Mishnah regarding Kedushin.